This is weird. Houston beat Auburn in today's Birmingham Bowl, but the 17-13 victory by the Cougars didn't placate their coach, Dana Holgorsen. Oh, man. He didn't wait to get into the media room for Brian Harsin, the head coach at Auburn, to finish speaking. He was complaining loudly during the press conference that the Auburn press conference was taking too long. And he screamed, "Hurry up," at Harsin and the media.
What?
Well, you know, this is one of those, I hate to break it to you, but this game took place in Birmingham, Alabama. Auburn being 6-7 is a way bigger story than Houston winning a bowl game. It's not even going to be close. And the majority of the media there is SEC people who cover Auburn. And that this is like, you know, so of course they have a lot of questions for the Auburn guy. And they don't care that Houston won the game. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it was like, well, it matters that Houston won the game because Auburn lost.
That's right.
Not because Houston won. It makes no difference.
Right, right.
It makes no difference. So... Sorry, Dana, you're out of the big conference stuff now. Welcome to the real world. This is the way it is.
I mean, I guess what I would do in that sense, like, they are opposing sides. Do you, can you not have them go at the same time or stagger one out? Like, that happens sometimes in sports where once a guy goes maybe past 15 minutes, they go to the next, you know, hey, this guy's starting over here and you can make your choice if you need to stick around.
Probably.
You know, like, yeah. I'm just
because there's probably three writers from Houston who showed up for the game,
right?
That do have some questions
That's
for him,
right.
But I'm gonna go with the other 75 credentialed people were all SEC writers who happen to be based in Alabama, and some of them are Crimson Tide people who are just burying Auburn, and some of them are just SEC people asking the big question, why are you 6-7 and why did you lose to them,
right? And for the three Houston reporters. After 15 minutes, you don't need to hear anything else. You can go on to your coach or...
Correct.
Right, if you need something from him, go grab it, you know? Like, I don't know. I think he's got a slight gripe, but also, you know, lighten up. Come on. Like, well, lighten up.
No, this is what it is. This is what it is.
Yes, right.
Sorry.
It's a bowl game. They treat it big time for a reason, so...
Well, and it's... Sorry, they're in the SEC, and they're a good SEC school.
Yeah.
That's a bigger story than anything you do. You better win the national championship to, like, trump that. Like, no one cares.
Right.
No
right.
one cares. Yeah. You won a bowl game that no one's going to remember tomorrow. Like, right. Nobody cares.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nobody cares. All right. So I didn't get into this stuff yesterday because I was trying to get back from old Dallas.
How was that, by the way? Was it easy travel? No cancellations? Nothing crazy?
I had a middle seat on the way back, which, as you know, makes me fully insane. So I was real fidgety coming back yesterday. I had an aisle seat on the way down. That was on Christmas. I flew on Christmas.
Okay.
And I was shocked at how packed the plane was because I flew at like 6:45 because I wanted to spend the day, you know, with my family and everybody.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And so I flew down at 6:45 and I couldn't believe, and I'm guessing because all those flights were canceled by all the other, I was lucky I was in an airline that didn't fly, you know, didn't have a bunch of delays and cancellations. So I'm guessing some people must've got stranded because I couldn't believe how many people were on this plane. Like I thought it'd be half full, maybe, you know, flying Christmas night.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was packed. No problems. That was no problems. Got an aisle seat. So I was okay. Americans got a nice in-flight option. You know, so I got to watch, I watched a classic movie on the plane. Huh? So okay. That went well.
Nice.
I watched Citizen Kane.
Oh,
on the plane.
Look at you.
So I did that. Right. So as obviously I was trying to think about anything but football because I knew what was coming, you know, 24 hours later. And then put the flight back, I ended up in a middle seat. I begged the gate agent to change it. She would not do it. I tried to nicely tell her I get very fidgety and whoever's sitting next to me is not going to like me because I'm going to be bopping around the whole time. And she didn't care. And so I ended up sitting between two wonderfully nice people. One of them was an elderly man, though. He was farting a ton and they were terrible farts, like terrible smelling old man farts. And I know it was him, you know, it was like, you know, you're not fooling
well,
me.
Age,
I know
you
it's
don't
you.
Care either. So, I mean, you know,
there's like, nothing I can do about it.
You're
I
mean, like, it rip, I'm, yeah.
And I know that like sitting next to me, cause I'm just bopping up, right? Cause I'm in the middle. I can't sit still. So that wasn't fun. Everything was on time though.
All
everything
right.
was on time. Everything, we got up in the air. We had a nice tailwind. or headwind on the way back. Mm-hmm. So our flight back was 2 hours and 15 minutes from Dallas.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah,
that was amazing. So, you know, I got off the plane and, you know, of course I was like, you know, wanted to get hosed down because I was so freaked out, you know, being in the middle seat the whole time. But otherwise it went pretty well.
Oh, all right.
And I'll tell you about Arlington and Frisco and those areas in a bit, because I you know, ended up kind of happenstance, ended up in those areas instead of Dallas. And I got to tell you, like, if you want a model of what Washington football world ought to look like, yep, go look what Jerry built. It's right. pretty darn amazing. Anyway, I did want to get into a couple big NFL stories that happened over the weekend that I didn't get to yesterday. One, Joe Judge is coming back, or at least reportedly, and considering there was no pushback from that, I'm assuming that is happening, that he's going to come back, and that also Daniel Jones is going to come back next year. And I saw a lot of people lump that together, and I actually think they're two separate stories, personally. The Judge one I'll get to in a moment. The Daniel Jones one, I think, is that's an easy decision for them to make. It doesn't mean that they won't bring competition in for him. It's he's in the fourth year of his 5-year contract. He's not making much money in the fourth year of his contract. And he has, I would think, no real trade value on the open market. Like, who's giving up a first round pick for him? Like, nobody, I don't think anybody would do that. So I don't see the purpose of trading him, and I also don't see the purpose of cutting him. Everyone says, you know, he's a really hard worker and a really good teammate and all that stuff, and I think we could all, you know, we've seen him a bunch of times here through the first few years. I think he's talented. I don't know that he's the guy for sure for them. I think, you know, he makes a lot of mistakes. When push comes to shove in the red zone, it seems to be mistake after mistake, and I don't know, but I don't think he's a bust, and I do think there's talent there. And so on Daniel Jones, I don't think that was a hard decision to make, and I found it odd people were lumping the two things together, because I don't think they're the same thing. Organizationally, I wouldn't cut bait on Jones. It doesn't look like he can't play. Like, they're obviously going to get another offensive coordinator in there because they fired Jason Garrett. So if you go out and either get either a veteran to compete with him or draft another, if they draft another quarterback, you're basically saying this is Daniel Jones' last year. But I don't see, I don't know. I didn't see that as a big a deal as other people were making it. I was like, that seems like an obvious decision. You can't trade him for anything of value. He's not making a ton of money because he's in year four. If you don't pick up the fifth year of the contract, which is where the salary really jumps, I don't know. That felt like an easy decision to me, and wasn't, to me, the indictment that people wanted to make of the Giants, like, not getting out of their own way. It does not mean he's going to be the starter there next year. It just means, why would you just get rid of him? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I'm with you, and, like, you know what? We're in a different world now when it comes to quarterbacks, how things are accelerated. Like, who's not to say they get a quarterback and Daniel Jones makes a jump again and they just decide later, like, move on from him or whatever. I'm with you. I'm not shocked at all that he's coming back, and
no,
who knows what the circumstances are going to be, but I don't think it's shocking at all. You and I have talked about him. He does not, he's not a terrible quarterback.
No, he's not. He's not at all.
He's got good to great moments. He's largely mediocre, but, like, he's got these moments where, like, damn, if he could just do that a lot, like, he'd be one of the best in the league. But yeah, who knows what's going
to
happen.
He's got the skill set to play the position. He's big. He's actually quite mobile. In fact, he's pretty fast, you know, like, and he's got a really good arm. Now, they don't win a lot, and he turns the ball over way too much, you know, so will that ever clear itself up? Well, they have to make that choice.
Yeah.
But because of those mixed results, I just don't think he has a lot of value on the trade market. And I don't see why, like, he's not a bust, so why would you cut him? Like, that doesn't even, so I didn't think that, like, when people were making such a huge deal, they're bringing him back, and I'm like, yeah, because he might be an asset, why would you just drop him? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. At worst, he ends up being your backup quarterback next year. That's the worst thing that ends up happening.
That's right.
And, like, do you have a problem with that? Because I wouldn't. Like, if he ends up being the backup, if somehow he ends up being the backup quarterback next year, you got a problem with that? Because I don't. I think he'd be the best backup in the country. In the NFL, they had him as the backup quarter. If they actually find someone who's better than him next year and he's their backup, that's a good scenario for them. On Joe Judge, though, I think that's a different conversation. So I think we all think Gettleman's out, right? Everybody thinks that. Like, they've got a lot of high draft picks this year. Hasn't gone particularly well. You know, there doesn't seem like a lot of direction. They're not winning a lot. So they everyone thinks he's going to be out. Whoever the new GM is suddenly is stuck with the coach and to whatever degree the quarterback. And I thought it was interesting that people were framing it like, well, you're stuck with that quarterback. I don't think they are. He is in technically the last year of a contract and he's not making a ton of money. He's not cap prohibitive. He doesn't get cap prohibitive until the fifth year, which they probably won't pick up because they want to keep the flexibility and the choice on Jones at a later date. So like the Jones thing to me does not factor into who the GM will be and decision-making they can make at the position. They could still draft somebody. They still could give up assets and go get Russ or whatever and do something like that. The hard part is the GM has to work with this coach, which is awkward at best. And then, which says to me then, there must be some internal candidate that they think is going to be the GM who's already on board with everything going on with Judge, because the bring in an external candidate to work with Judge feels awkward and unusual. That's how I read that. That like they're saying Judge is coming back because they already know what they're doing at GM and it's probably internal. I don't know if their fans are going to like that, but it's probably what it's going to be.
Sounds about right. That franchise does that more than anyone in football, it seems.
Yes. And in all, you know, if I was a fan of the Giants, I don't know that I would like all this.
I agree.
Like all piled together, you go, wait a minute. So internally, we haven't built a team that's been competitive in a number of years. We're going to suggest that somebody who works under Gettleman is a better choice than Gettleman. Why didn't you do that last year then? You know, like if that's what you thought. And you're just keeping the coach and you keep telling me he's Parcells, but they keep winning four games and, you know, and we're keeping the quarterback that everybody's real wishy-washy about. This doesn't feel like change. And so I could see where their fans look at it and go, are you really changing anything here? And they're going back saying, you've got to trust our judgment. And it doesn't mean Jones is the long-term answer. We're going to find out. We do think Judge has what it takes to be a good coach. And we are feeling good about our front office. And that's a leap of faith that they are asking for. And it's certainly not widespread change. And with Judge, I mean, when you get the vote of confidence publicly, you're done. When you get it under the radar, the way Judge got it, I knew he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. We'll find out if they're right or wrong. We don't know. I mean, the results are not good so far. I mean, they're really bad. And the last few weeks, you know, and not unlike what I said about Washington, like Jones isn't playing. Glennon is clearly not better than him. This guy Fromm is clearly not better than him. Like they're getting routed in games now. And so if I was a Giants fan today, I don't think I would like this, but I would understand at least some of it. And the Giants also are typically not a quick trigger type franchise. If they were to fire Judge after 2 years, that would be what, four coaches in seven?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And I think that's like, if I'm a Giants fan today, I'm also understanding why and also not wanting to go through this again. Like,
McAdoo was a bad choice.
Yeah,
he was
right,
a bad choice.
Right.
They had to get out of that one. Shurmur, I don't know whether he was a terrible choice, but the results were so bad, they decided to make a move.
So terrible.
Now they bring in Judge. They've put everything behind him, said he's our young Parcells. He certainly looks like the Giants coach. You know, like you ever saw a guy who like looks it? He looks it.
Agree.
You know, like that would, if they cut him, that's 4 and 7 years, right? Because McAdoo was only there 2 or 3. Shurmur was only there 2. Judge has only been there 2. I think they would start to fall into like that Washington football category where they're like, you're changing the coach again? Like, when are you going to buy into somebody? So that might be part of it here, that they feel like we need to stop being reckless. We need to give somebody a real shot, and 2 years is never enough. So,
yeah. And I mean, I also, you asked the question as well, like, who are they going to get in there that they would like more than Judge? Like, we've heard it from their media and from, you know, the ownership under the table that they like still love Joe Judge, that they think he could be Parcells essentially. They're not going to find someone and another candidate that they love as much as that guy anyway. So,
There's one, and this is the Anita Marks all time. That Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft have a falling out, and Bill Belichick has some, you know, deep recesses in his heart, this love for the New York Giants, you know, franchise, because he worked under Parcells and that's where he'd like to end his career. He could be the president and the coach.
That's right.
You know, he'd have the whole thing, and that would have to happen. And my guess is they would have to trade New England 5 first round picks to do it.
Yes, correct. Exactly.
You know,
Although, that, to be fair, we don't know what Belichick's contract looks like either. It's one of the few things that's always had a tight lid on it. You don't even know when he's ever available and how much he's making either. So,
and to be fair, I will stop talking about the cycle of negativity if Bill Belichick is the head coach of the Giants, because I think our fate is sealed for however long he decides to coach there. I would be like, that's a disaster.
Yeah.
That's an all-time disaster for us if he ended up going there and coaching them.
That's right.
All right, the other thing I saw this weekend was Peter King, who oddly isn't breaking a lot of the news anymore. So he's kind of, I don't see his name popping up that much, but he had this one, which was a good one. And it does fall in line with everything we've heard. Aaron Rodgers probably will be the Broncos quarterback next year. He and the Clay Aiden girlfriend, who is from Boulder, they yes. clearly need a quarterback next year. I don't know how involved Elway is. I don't know how involved whatever the new ownership is going to be. So that part makes it tricky, but clearly if he wanted to go and play out however many years he's going to play in Denver, it's right there for the taking for him. And Peter King reported that he's already sent the first shot was, well, I kind of want you to hire my offensive coordinator here, Nathaniel Hackett from Green Bay, to be the head coach in Denver.
Oh,
if you hire him, I'll come there.
Oh,
so that's already out there. So, and which is him saying, this is what I want. And I mean, I keep trying to hold out the, you know, you are once again on a team that's 13 or 14 wins. Uh-huh. You're once again a 1 or 2 seed. You're once again hosting playoff games. You're once again on the doorstep of winning, and you might actually do it this year. And you want to leave there. Why exactly?
And not only that, it's not like it's by a system or whatever. You have maybe the best wide receiver in the game on your team, one of the best running backs on your team, and a head coach that's young and you get along with, too. Like, I'm with you. I don't know why you'd want to leave at this point.
He's ridiculous, Adams, by the way. He's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's so good.
I want Washington to sign him and make him and Terry fight for 17, and then I don't care who wins that battle, and then let's go with those two wide receivers. that guy, he's ridiculous.
Yes.
He's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, back to the Hackett thing. I believe it. You know, I haven't seen a lot from Peter King. He's not the one breaking all the news these days,
sure,
but that made a lot of sense to me. And I mean, you know, the timing of it's interesting. You know, unlike previous years, you can interview guys now. They changed that. So Jacksonville is going to be interviewing a lot of different people now their head coach opening. And I think what he was saying to Denver out loud was, you should talk to my guy right now and we can get this all settled in the offseason real fast. And we're a package deal. So let's see what Denver does. They'd have to fire their coach to do that.
Right.
And could sit, you know, and which it doesn't feel like would be that much of a surprise to me if they did, but that's out there today.
I mean, you're right. It's the first sniff of his demands, because I think we knew it was coming. Like, we all knew he was going to want something. Yeah. Like, we've gotten to the point where He got them to trade for Randall Cobb again, and he's not even really doing much. So I'm not shocked. I still think I'm with you. Like, he's got to look at a situation and go, do I want to leave here? Like, I'm probably only going to play for, I don't know, what's he got left? 2 to 3 years, probably, realistically.
I keep waiting for him to come around to, you know, it's not bad here. In the same way I kept, like, keep waiting for Ben Simmons to come around and go, well, you know, we actually have a good basketball team here. Maybe I should just stay here. You know, like, why would I go anywhere else?
Like, and it's not like where it's Brady, where Brady was let, like, they didn't renew his contract in New England. It was just time for a divorce there. They still want him in Green Bay. And so, like, Brady went to the Bucs to finish out his career, and this could be it this year just for 2 more years. But if you're Rodgers and you've only got 2 to 3 more years and they still want you, why wouldn't you just finish it out there?
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Well, Belichick wanted to trade Brady 5 years ago.
That's right, yes. And two more Super Bowls in that time
frame. Wasn't allowed to, you know, but, like, and that started it, and, you know, whatever. Business is business. It ain't personal. But that, you know, obviously Brady got irked by it. It motivated him. Actually probably helped him keep him motivated.
Probably. Kept the edge. You're right.
You know, kept the edge. And, you know, and then I with Rodgers, it's different. They're not trying to trade him. They don't want to get rid of him. They held him hostage last offseason. They're like, we like you, interesting fella. Please stay here.
Interesting fella.
We'd like you to stop going on McAfee. But outside of that, you know, like, we're pretty good with you. If you just kind of keep your thoughts to yourself and, you know, stop showing people your toes, we're all good here. Just like, and we keep winning. They keep winning. I don't know. I keep waiting for him to come around to, all right, I'll just stick it out here and play the rest of my career here and break every record and, you know, and just stay here and hopefully win a couple championships, because there's no guarantee he goes out of Denver and they win anything. They're in a division with Herbert and Mahomes. He's out of his mind, right. Actually.
Right, right.
Right now, they got rookie Justin Fields, who might be good, might not, Kurt, and Jared Goff. What's he thinking? Where are you going?
Right. It ain't going to get easier than that.
Where are you going? Like, you're going to go to a division where you might be the third best quarterback. Like, what are you, out of your mind? Like, what are you doing? Anyway, right. Whatever.
Did you see what he said today on McAfee?
No. I mean, I've seen tweets about, you know, someone should tell Pat McAfee to finally tell him to stop saying this crazy stuff. And I will repeat, he is not a journalist. He's an entertainer. And he knows that, why get into an argument with him? Because it's just going to go viral when he says all this crazy crap on his show. So what did he say?
Rodgers basically said, like, well, you know, I've been raked over the coals for my COVID opinions. Maybe that's a problem with, like, the country, is we should talk to people with different opinions.
Well, he did anti-cancel culture last week. He's back on that again, basically.
Pretty much. But he's like, you know, we should listen to each other and talk about opinions that are different. Whereas, like, the second that got tweeted out, the quote retweets were like, yeah, buddy, your opinions are freaking wrong. And they put people in danger. So we don't want to have a conversation with you.
And also, you're not saying this in somebody's living room. You're saying it on a massive platform.
That's right.
Therefore, your opinions are being heard.
That's right.
You're not canceled.
Yes.
Great. What is there not to understand about this?
That's right.
This isn't that hard. He's sitting there going, you're squelching me. But he's saying it to the world and everyone's listening.
Right.
So you haven't been canceled. No one's deplatformed you. You are talking. And if you say something that is obviously false, it's okay if other people say, you know, that's not true, right?
Right. Right.
Holy moly. He's interesting fella.
Here it is. Here's the exact quote, because I don't want to, you know, get it totally wrong or anything. When did we lose the ability to respect somebody's opinion? My thoughts on COVID are my opinion. Why can't we have more conversations between people with different opinions? It was worse than I said it, actually.
Fine.
It was worse.
What if I was to tell you that I just don't think nuclear weapons are that dangerous? And it's just my opinion on nuclear weapons. Okay? Why am I not allowed to have an opinion on nuclear weapons? It's my opinion.
That's right.
I've done my research, and I don't think they're as dangerous as people say.
I don't think we should use bullets anymore. We should use mustard gas.
That's right. I think that's what we should do. It's just my opinion on it.
It's my opinion, though. We should embrace that.
You know, whatever. It's just, I don't like speed limits. You know, like, I don't know. It's just my opinion on it. Why can't I say that? It's okay. Like, is there a reason why we have speed limits? Because I don't see a reason why you have speed limits.
That's right.
All right. Let's see. One last thing.
Yeah.
The Eagles, who we get this weekend, are keeping quarterbacks Jalen Hurts, Gardner Minshew, and Reed Sinnott in separate rooms their complex because of a surge of coronavirus cases across the country. Quoting their coach, Nick Sirianni, we're going to have to make some adjustments. I'm not 100% there yet, because I don't have to be quite yet with the players not being back yet, but we're going to definitely make even more adjustments. We want to keep everybody safe. Therefore, the quarterbacks will be in separate rooms. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I think that's smart. I think as you're getting to the last two games of the season, they need to win too. I know there are rivals, but that's a smart call. People need to start thinking outside the box on how they, you know, keep their rosters up to snuff
What I really think should happen would be the most amazing thing. They should start Garrett Gilbert against us on Sunday. That would be incredible.
That'd be pretty funny, actually.
That'd be pretty good. All right. Let's see. Who else? Oh, Ryan Kerrigan's on the list.
Yeah, he got, I think, a test positive last week, right after the game. Let's see.
Derek Barnett, Ryan Kerrigan on the list. They also lost Miles Sanders, so I don't think he's playing this week. He broke his hand.
Yeah,
broke his hand. I know they're saying they're trying to get him back for the playoffs if they get there, but I don't think he's playing this weekend. All right, I'll take a quick break. I'll tell you about my little visit down to the Metroplex and Jerry World 1 and Jerry World 2 next. Bray, watch the show, ESPN 630 Sports Capital.
The Bram Weinstein Show on the new ESPN 630. She grew
up in Indiana town, had a good Bram watched the show on ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yuengling. Raise the bar at the next generation of light beer. So, obviously, I was down in Dallas, the Dallas-Fort Worth area this weekend. I ended up staying in Arlington, right by the stadium. If you don't know the geography very well, Arlington is about 20 to 25 miles away from Dallas and about 15 miles from Fort Worth, kind of smack dab in the middle of the two of them. And in between those two is Frisco, Texas, which is where the new Cowboys facility that famously during Hard Knocks got profiled. And you got to see that really cool drone shot that did that one shot where they kind of took you through the whole thing, which I thought was... That was one of the best TV sports moments we've had of the year. That was unbelievable that they did that and showed off the star. And as you know, when I go to places, I like to travel for food. So I do a lot of research about where I want to go. And of course, you know, I love barbecue and Texas barbecue is kind of can't be missed. So I was looking up over the weekend, you know, where to go to get the best Texas barbecue. And Texas Monthly, which is a nice little publication down there, put out recently rankings for barbecue across the state and happened to name in Fort Worth. They said the best barbecue in the state right now is a place in Fort Worth. So I was 15 minutes from it. So I was going to go, and then they were closed for the Christmas weekend. So I couldn't go get my barbecue at the place. It was a total dagger. But another place that's like top five is a place called Hutchins, which happened to be about 20 minutes away from where I was in Frisco. And I had forgotten that's where the star is, which is the training facility of the Cowboys. So I decided to go to this place for lunch on the game day, Sunday. So I drove over to Frisco. It was like 20 minutes away. And as I was pulling in, I saw a sign for the star. And I'm like, I got to go check this out now. So I got the food. Food was, as you might imagine, great.
Yes.
And then so I drove back over to the star because I wanted to see it. It is the Wharf if the Washington football team put their training facility in the middle of it.
Hmm.
Restaurants, bars, obviously brand new build out. You know, they bought all this land, a brand new build out. Restaurants, bars, Cowboys Walk of Fame, Cowboys, you know, a bunch of stuff, you know, just in and around. It's all inundated with, obviously, Cowboys stuff. It's a town around their training facility. It has a big, giant, like, you know, replica, not 100 yards, but of the field where people come, hang out, watch on a big screen the games were going on during the day, probably have other things on at night. They've got shows, entertainment. Whole thing's going on down there. I couldn't get into the Ford Center, which is the name of the arena, but like they have a practice facility there that also has a stadium in it, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 seat stadium. Some major high school football games are played there. I actually think they could probably put a low end bowl in there if they wanted to play at the star, make it really cool. They could probably do that if they really wanted to. They didn't want to, you know, they can't sell more than, you know, 10,000-20,000 tickets anyway to these games. I think it'd be cool to potentially do that one day down there, play in the facility. It's incredible. Like it's honestly incredible. And they've made a football town in and around the Dallas Cowboys. It's beautiful. It's all modern and brand new. So it looks really nice. But think if you're up in Rockville, Pike and Rose or the Wharf, you know, those type of areas. Navy Yard, it looks like that.
One Loudon.
It looks like that.
Is it kind of like that? I mean.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Unbelievable. Then if you go over back to Arlington, where their stadium is, the AT&T Stadium is, it's also where the Rangers play. The Rangers' old stadium still stands, the ballpark. I don't know what they're using it for. Their new stadium is right across the street from it.
Yep.
On TV, it looks like a piece of crap that's like covered in tinfoil. In person, it actually looks pretty cool. You know, I didn't go inside of it, but like, you know, but it, like, I remember when they showed it, I was like, oh, that design's terrible. When you're there, it actually looks okay. Like, it looks okay. It does look like a Traeger grill, but outside of that, it's pretty cool, right? What's down there? A Lowe's Hotel. A Troy Aikman's outdoor bar with live music every night. A Miller beer garden, huge giant beer garden, like all of this entertainment. And I know that, like, you know, Washington, when they talk about building a stadium, they're not just talking about building a stadium. They're talking about building like a town. And I got to tell you, I was walking around both of these places, which is basically Jerry World 1 and Jerry World 2 that he shares with, you know, the Rangers and down there. And I'm like, you know, what this guy understands, and I think really understands really, really, really well, is he understands hospitality. You'll pay a premium for it, you know, but he gets it. Like, the stadium is decked out. It's just so open. It gives them, there's more of a, like, Arlington, not unlike FedEx Field. Arlington's in the middle of nowhere in Dallas, really.
Right.
It's not really close to Dallas. Yep. It's not really close to Fort Worth. It's not really close to, like, you know, where a lot of people live. It's kind of its own little island, but it's given you a reason to go there, hang out, get immersed. You know, obviously with the baseball stadium there, it's going to be much more multi-use than what AT&T Stadium could provide, you know, on a basis. And then when I went down to the Star, I'm like walking around and like, they have just perfectly integrated their brand into an entertainment area. And everybody's walking around in Cowboys jerseys and they're hanging out and it's high-end food and really nice bars and just family friendly in a lot of ways too, like really nice. And I'm watching this and I'm going, this is what I'm jealous of. Like, this guy completely understands fans. He understands what they want in an experience. You'll pay for it, but he'll give it to you. And it just, I was jealous of it, walking around and going, all right, like, this is now the second or third time that I've seen something, because where I'm hoping Dan Snyder and Tanya Snyder and Jason Wright are looking at this and going, this is what you want to emulate, this. But it not only starts with building modern amenities, but I think it also includes a concerted effort to have the type of outreach that Jerry Jones and his organization provides to its fans. That's what this team, I think, has been lacking in the past, which may be part of the negativity that's been around it. They have not been really good as a service company. And Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys really understand service. I mean, just impossibly well. And, you know, listen, they're a big brand and they're really good at promoting themselves and all of that stuff. But you feel so welcomed. You feel like you've got everything in front of you that you want. They're going to make this a great day, win or lose. You're going to have a great time. And they've turned their training facility into an area people want to hang out in. These guys get it. I mean, they just beyond get it, you know, get it from just a customer service perspective. And I hope that, you know, we've seen a lot of really some places that as we think about a new stadium and a new area, which sounds like it's becoming an area, that I hope that they emulate. And I hope that they took a good long, forget the game, a good long, hard look at how they built up the Arlington area where that stadium is, how they built up the Star. And I hope some light bulbs went off, because I was jealous of the Cowboys in that way, just in how they think about their fans and how they want them integrated and just the good feelings you want around your team. And they've provided it, just totally, utterly provided it to them. It's amazing.
I mean, Here's the good thing. I'm not really like breaking any news here, but the company, the consulting company for all of the new stadium and the
Cowboys,
the,
right?
Yeah, it's I'm trying to think of the in all of the like focus groups. It's run by the organization that is owned by the Cowboys, who did SoFi, who did Allegiant. It's who everybody uses now because of what you're talking about, because it is so well done there. And
so well done.
And so I would say this, like, to just reinforce your point, I think they are looking at all of that stuff. I'm good with you. Like, the service stuff would just go such a long way to help fans here. Not to say like the FedEx Field workers are the worst or anything. They're not. They're fine. Like, those are hardworking people. But I see what you're saying in that it kind of goes that above and beyond, like the
above and beyond,
like the old Chick-fil-A attitude, right? You go to Chick-fil-A and, like, you know, they're always very pleasant with you, and it makes you feel good when you go to a place like that. Whereas, you know, what you're talking about, it's just the same thing in a football sense. I'm not shocked that that is something Jerry preaches, and he probably pays a little bit better for that too, right? Like, you pay for that type of work, and good, because it tells me that they're looking at all of that stuff, and most likely they're going to try to go that route. the only thing I'll say, and it's not to push back or anything. That's great that that's all built. That's going to have to go somewhere, and I just don't know where that goes. And
Virginia.
Let's see. Yeah, right. Like, let's see where it goes.
I was walking around there going, the only place this goes is Virginia.
Correct. Correct. Exactly.
There is no place in Washington that can accommodate this.
That's right.
And Maryland may have accommodation places, but they'd have to move some stuff around to make this.
Correct.
And they're a little too populated in and around the Beltway. There are areas, Prince William and Loudoun, where swatches of land to build this stuff exist. And so that was the other thing when I got on the plane. I walked around there and I went, oh, this is going to Virginia. Like, this is definitively happening in Virginia because they can accommodate this.
Yep.
They can give you a brand new, you know, swatch of 400 acres and let you build what you want.
Right.
And welcome it, you know, welcome it into the community. That's what they want. And it was, but boy, does Jerry Jones get hospitality. I mean, he gets it. You know, we've seen some interesting places, like the Atlanta Stadium's amazing. There's nothing kind of in and around it though. The Allegiant Stadium, look, I mean, that's Vegas. So you don't need to build a Raider city around that. I mean, Las Vegas is Las Vegas doubles as, you know, an all-time tailgate. So you don't need it. And it's situated within the city limits anyway. So I understand that they didn't feel the need to do this, but we do. We do have to build our version of the Star or our version of Arlington. And it goes beyond just building a stadium people want to go to. It goes back to becoming essentially an entertainment company. And I do hope that they really do lean on the Cowboys' expertise for this. And it sounds like they are, because man, do they know what they're doing here? Like they get it. They understand it. You know, I've seen all these things that I want to steal from all these other places. Like I want those DJs from Vegas up in our stadium. I want I want the in-game DJ to be like Big Tigger from Atlanta. I want something, you know, I want a town like they've built in Arlington or the Star where people are going to congregate and look like the Packers fans. Like I've seen all this and I'm like, this is what I want. And this is what I think we need, you know, to get back to a place where there's just kind of positive vibes, but it's not just the amenities. It is the execution. And that's where I want to give Dallas a lot of credit here too. They execute. And maybe some of that is Southern hospitality and some of that is, you know, behaviors that they ingrain in their employees, but it's a great game day experience there. It's a beyond just going to the game in and around that stadium, getting in and out, the amount of different entertainment options you have. And then if you want to feel close to the team, they've built a city for you and your family to walk around and you might just run into Ezekiel Elliott walking down the street. Like it's unbelievable what he's done, and I'm jealous of it. And I really, really, really hope that when they do, you know, field a lot of discussion points about wherever they land at putting this thing, that maybe he comes in and talks to them, tells them how it works in Dallas and how it can work here too, because it was quite amazing.
I mean, I think the other thing here too that could be argued, and you're saying Virginia, but, you know, let's say Maryland says, we could provide you with the stadium this place at point X, but then at point Y, we want you to build your facilities out and have your version of that. Like that could be something that happens here too. Like I get you, because Maryland is populated where you would want the stadium to be at, but I do think they could rejigger some things and you could get both. They would just be separate from each other. And if you're Maryland, you're saying we want all of your revenue because then all of your players live here and we get that tax money, right? Like that probably ends up getting you a nice chunk of change in the long run too. So maybe that could be a thing as well. I'm just thinking out loud and seeing what sticks, but you know, we'll see.
At this point, what I've heard, and I don't know that it's set in stone, is that they're not leaving the training facility.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
That's what I've heard. That may change. And after walking around the Star, I'm hoping some light bulbs went off and that they go, you know what? We could do that too. And we could put a brand new, you know, high-end modern training facility near the stadium, somewhere around the stadium, maybe in its own little separate location, and sell off what is extremely valuable property on Loudoun County Parkway now, because there's that's a lot different now. And You know, so I don't know. I've just, this has been an interesting year in traveling around and seeing some of the places we've seen that I think are hopefully going to end up giving us what we need, which is not only a world-class facility again and a place people want to go to, but I'm hoping that they get to see how customer service is working in the modern NFL right now, what fans expect and what you can provide to them. And if some of that carries over from whether it's Vegas, Atlanta, Green Bay, or really Dallas, it'd be all the better for the organization.
Yep.
All right, let's take a quick break. Bram wants to show ESPN 630, Sports Capital. Bram wants to show ESPN 630, the Sports Capital, here on a Tuesday. Happy almost New Year, everybody. Do you got any plans this weekend, Gallo, or no?
No. Friday's funny. That is actual New Year's. We're working here, and then the Caps play at Detroit at 7:30.
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
It's like, not that I was going to go out anyway in this climate, but it's like kind of weird. Yeah. I'm just going to go home and unwind like I do after every game and stay up past midnight, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm not going to have any major plans, to answer your question. I'm not going to go to the final game at FedEx Field. So, yeah, I'm chilling this weekend. I'm not doing too much.
We're going to just have everybody. We're going to have a few people over, a limited amount of people over on Friday night.
Yep.
I'm actually going out tomorrow. I'm going to see John Oliver at the Kennedy Center.
Oh, nice.
He's performing there. I was hoping they wouldn't cancel that. I'm also not too psyched about being inside with 8 million people right now, but you know, I can't give up these tickets and I bought them 9 months ago.
It's like
one of those, like, I didn't know about Omicron in April, when they had that. This came up on Twitter today. Mm-hmm. Demi Lovato and Saweetie just debuted their shaved heads. And so E-Talk is asking, are full buzz cuts going to be the look of 2022? To which I would say, God, I hope not.
I'm all about expressing yourself. It is not my preference to go, you know, shaved head.
It's not my preference either.
I'm saying that in the nicest way possible. We all have our preferences. It is not mine.
I'll say it in plenty mean ways if you want me to.
No, don't. Don't do that.
Double thumbs down. Yeah. Please don't. Because, like, I'm going to try to be, as I hit the optimistic gene again, I'm going to hope that we figure out this COVID thing enough that we can all go back out again and not feel like we're in fear constantly. And when we do, I really don't want every female to have a shaved head when I go out. I'm not into that.
I don't think you got to worry about that. I don't think you got to worry about it.
When did the shaved head thing? We had a run of that with Sinead O'Connor. Like when she got really popular, we had a run of it then. This one, will Demi Lovato and Saweetie be a culture changer and bring the shaved head to 2022? God, I hope not.
I know women that would not shave their head for the most absurd amount of money in the world. So I'm going to go with no. I'm going to say some people do it. I'm going to go majority goes no, though.
I hope you're right about that.
You should ask your wife that tonight. What would it take for you to shave your head? And I'm sure the answer is actually going to surprise you, where she'd say, like, absolutely not, never.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Yeah, I don't,
that's what I'm saying. So, like, trust me, it's
I don't think she would do that.
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe she surprises you. Maybe she thinks that's a good idea. Maybe you don't bring that up to her, actually.
She wants a new kitchen really badly, so I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Oh, okay. So it would take a new kitchen? That's a lot, though. That's a lot. It's hair. So,
yeah. I might shave my head for a new kitchen. That's, you know.
Probably would. I'd probably do it for that. Yeah. We're guys, though. Like, we know that it's going to grow back exactly the same as it did before.
Yeah, we don't care. Right. No, we don't care. Let's see.
Like, we've all gotten a haircut that's been too short. So, I mean, all right, just take it down back. The next notch. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It comes back. Let's see. Bowl games right now. Air Force leads Louisville 28-21 in the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl as they head to the fourth quarter there. Earlier today, Houston beat Auburn 17-13 in the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl. UCLA has a COVID problem, and thus the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl is off. They're not going to be playing NC State today. Mississippi State plays Texas Tech later. That's the Mike Leach Bowl. And West Virginia gets Minnesota in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl at the Diamondback Stadium later tonight. West Virginia, Minnesota. Not a bad matchup. Yeah, all right, take that. Tonight, we also get the Wizards. The Wizards are playing the Heat. Is Beal playing? He's not off this. He's not off the list yet, right?
I think he is off the list. He wasn't listed when I checked it. Excuse me for it. I thought he was not, but let me double check.
I don't remember. I can't keep up with it anymore.
I'm with you. It's it's impossible to keep up with it. Questionable is what it says for tonight.
Questionable is if he can play, but he's allowed to play.
Correct.
Montrez went on it though, right? Is he out tonight?
Yeah, Trez out. They signed two players from the G League, and I think they signed a free agent.
Oh, good.
So,
Then
who is it? Rui Hachimura, who is like about to come back, also on COVID protocols now too. So
he's right. He was gonna come back. That's gonna be interesting. How much he shares about what's been going on this year.
Right.
We're waiting for that one. Yeah. I'm waiting for that one.
Exactly.
All right. Wizards at Heat tonight. All right, that'll do it for us. Talk to you tomorrow at 3. Brand watch the show, ESPN 630, Sports Capital.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.